Hello, and welcome to Medicine Matters, the Springer Medicine Podcast. I'm Jane Gosland. In this episode, we're taking a deep dive into a very specific patient population. Those patients in our cardiology clinics who present with comorbid frailty and cognitive decline. In particular, we'll be discussing the importance of identifying suitable rehabilitation programs for this cohort. As all of you will know, cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. The American Heart Association reports that 77 to 80% of patients between the ages of 60 and 80 have cardiac disease, with the incidence rising to 85% in patients over the age of 80. Alongside this, nearly half of all adults over the age of 65 have some degree of frailty, including cognitive vulnerability. Cardiac rehabilitation programs, which can include lifestyle modifications, tailored exercise interventions, improved diets, and psychological support, can be extremely beneficial in patients with either acute or chronic cardiovascular disease. Particularly in younger patients, so those looking at under 75 years old, significant benefits have been seen in preventing further cardiovascular events, but also for psychological and quality of life outcomes, and in the prevention of disability. In patients over 75 years, however, outcomes are less impressive, as this population make up approximately a third of referrals for cardiac rehabilitation programs in Europe. Understanding more about effective clinical strategies for these patients is essential. This is why I am delighted to have Dr. Edward Chancilla joining me today to help us understand a little more about tailored rehabilitation programs for our older patients with frailty. Dr. Chancilla, thank you for joining us. I'm going to launch right in at the beginning with my first question. Why is rehabilitation in the management of cardiovascular disease so important?
So I think it would be useful to consider cardiovascular rehabilitation in two settings. One, when something new, sudden, often devastating has happened, like a myocardial infarction or a stroke, and it's a major insult for both mental health and physical health. A rehabilitation approach in those settings would be different to rehabilitation in chronic conditions, like people with angina or people with stroke a long time ago.
And what are the primary aims when implementing a rehabilitation program among cardiovascular patients?
The objectives of the chosen rehabilitation programs would be different. So if it's an acute insult, acute problem, the physical state will change to a different level to how it was before. For example, if people had a heart attack, myocardial infarction, they may not have the same physical capacity after the event as they had before. Their heart may need to adjust to the new circumstances. So the physical activity may need to be adjusted. And it could be even more significant if people experience the stroke, because they may have deficit in their mobility and other sides of their functioning. So this needs to be considered. And mental health, cognitive function comes along with that, the ability of people to motivate and to recover from this itself, physical and psychological. So rehabilitation here plays a huge role because it helps to achieve the maximum physical and mental capacity after what has happened. In chronic states, the rehabilitation program would have slightly difficult focus. Their focus will be on continuity, on maintenance of physical and mental health capacity, but also on building up and ability to maintain the chosen achieved level longer term.
So in essence, we're trying to prevent future events, or is the focus more on recovery?
In acute settings, it would be recovery as the first priority, and it will gradually change in preventing future events. Then they can't be split completely separate. but they're different objectives. In acute recovery, the priority is on what has happened recently. And to give example, if it was a significant event like a stroke or myocardial infarction, people may need time of reduced mobility to recover. And there was an older research showing that if somebody spent 2 weeks in hospital, they may need up to 6 months to recover physically, returning their muscular function to the baseline level. And that's irrespective of the severity of the acute problem itself.
And you mentioned that there are mental as well as physical effects of an acute event like that. When we're talking about rehabilitation, are we talking purely physical interventions, or are there other lifestyle modifications required?
Physical intervention is important, and we've probably got much more experience in how it works. It's unlikely to be sustainable and to achieve the same level of efficiency if we don't consider the mental side. Its ability to motivate, to understand why rehabilitation is important, what it involves, how to change, how to adjust, how to communicate. So certainly very important.
So that's really interesting, because I think we'll come back to that a bit later on in our conversation when we're talking about specific patient populations who are who you're trying to work with rehabilitation. So let me talk a little bit about the patients we're discussing in this podcast who are elderly, perhaps frail. So what is frailty, and how is it different to aging?
Okay, so frailty is still an emergent concept. Relatively new, it really came about around the year 2000. And we're still shaping our approach to what frailty is and how we define it. So frailty is not equivalent of aging, even though aging is a major risk factor for frailty. But we perceive frailty as a state of vulnerability, physical and mental health vulnerability to different stresses. So reduced ability, for example, to cope with acute infections or cardiovascular events. There are different ways to define frailty, and the two major approaches are, one, to define frailty as accumulation of deficiencies, which would be various health conditions, potentially their combination, potentially the number of medications people take. So this does not assess the patient individually, but it's putting together everything we know about this patient. The more conditions they have, the more likely they will be vulnerable to those stresses. And another approach is to measure something, and it often would be a combination of different tests, assessing, for example, people's mobility, how quickly they can move. They may include cognitive components, and there is a number of those tools that are available.
And so, considering frailty presenting specifically as a comorbidity of cardiovascular disease, what should clinicians be mindful of?
There are many considerations here. So if somebody has cardiovascular health problems, cardiovascular conditions, it's one of those components, dimensions of frailty, deficits of frailty. So if people have more conditions, they're more likely to be defined as frail. But many cardiovascular conditions affect mobility, irrespective of the background physical health. For example, somebody with heart failure may not be able to move as much as someone without heart failure, or someone with a stroke will not be able to function in the same way as before with stroke. And people will eventually move less, will start losing muscles, and this will generate the vicious circle when people get worse and worse in their physical and mental health.
And is the relationship bidirectional? So are frail people more likely to have cardiovascular disease because they're, you know, doing less exercise and et cetera? Or is it mostly the other way around? Which is it dominant or is it equal, the relationship between cardiovascular disease and frailty?
I would think they're both important and probably equal. There would be causative relationship between the two. Frailty is not just weakness of the muscles, is that accumulation of health problems, health deficits. It would often be kidney function, and people who would be able to tolerate certain medications with normal normal kidney function will not be the same in someone with kidney problems. Or if somebody has dementia, or even more subtle cognitive impairment, they may be not as engaged in their treatment, they might be missing their medications, they may be less motivated to be involved in the rehabilitation programs.
And so what are the unique considerations you need when planning a rehabilitation program for somebody who has had cardiovascular acute event and is also classed as frail?
So the approach must be individualized. One person with a frailty is one person with a frailty, and there wouldn't be one rule fits or fitting all. But they're all likely to have the lower baseline level of physical ability, so they may not be able to start more intensive programs. They may need to start slow and build up over time the ability to participate. And it's important that this activity doesn't stop soon. It needs to last. The recovery period would be more prolonged.
And for someone with cognitive frailty, which you just touched upon, what would your approach to their rehabilitation look like?
Thank you for bringing it. So cognitive frailty is a combination of physical problems and cognitive decline, which is quite common. And motivation for participation in the rehabilitation program or any other intervention is the major issue. To involve these people appropriately, adequately, it's important to understand their social circumstances, understand who is around them, who can support them, who can perhaps give them a lift to their program. Increasingly, we're using remote methods of rehabilitation, which is useful because it saves people time and they potentially can monitor their progress. But people with cognitive frailty may be less likely to benefit from those technologies. Digital literacy may be a problem. So understanding the whole social environment would be important, leaving them alone in rehabilitation.
How successful can you be in terms of mitigating cardiovascular risk in patients with cognitive frailty? Do we know that there are positive outcomes from rehabilitation programs? Have we been able to see an improvement in these patients?
There are no good quality hard scale studies in this area, and people with cognitive frailty are generally underrepresented in pretty any kind of treatment assessment.
These patients who have cardiovascular disease and frailty, and perhaps also cognitive decline, they're likely to be on a number of medications. How should that be handled by clinicians?
Often we ask ourselves a question when it could be a time to start stopping some medications as opposed to adding the medication, and it's a very gray area. And at some point, consideration, rehabilitation, physical rehabilitation, and the pharmacological therapy, the interactions may be not the same as in people without frailty. To give example, people with frailty are more likely to fall. And they're more likely to fall if their blood pressure fluctuates. And for example, if they stand up and blood pressure drops, postural blood pressure, and the risk of fall is very well documented. However, we don't know what to do in those settings. We don't know whether standing blood pressure should be the target in those patients. which part of our guidance, but the evidence that stopping the medications in people with postural blood pressure drops is very slim, and it's not necessarily beneficial. The targets of blood pressure are not well defined, and this is all part of rehabilitation, because when individualized rehabilitation program is designed, that these numbers of blood pressure, heart rate, they will be part of the targets.
So going back to when we're talking more about kind of physical frailty and cardiovascular disease, what interventions have we seen that are successful?
Traditionally, we focus on physical rehabilitation, and it seems to work in people irrespective whether they've got frailty or not. Again, I have to stress out that the most evidence comes from people without frailty, and that there are great areas on people with frailty.
So what do you think is the most exciting research going on in this area then, looking at patients who are post-cardiovascular event and have frailty?
There have been research done in sarcopenia in people with frailty. Losing muscles is a strong independent predictor of poor outcome. And rehabilitation that able to prevent muscle loss is beneficial. We now have tools that can be inexpensive and accessible in measuring muscle mass. The observational studies and some interventional studies, Slovakian studies, show that it's a useful tool to monitor their progress. The challenge with people with frailty is that even monitoring their physical health is not easy. Many algorithms, for example, measuring skeletal muscle mass, they develop for unfit people, keeping younger population in mind. So we still don't know well to what degree it can be translated for people with frailty.
Yeah, so a lot more research needed in the frail population, but obviously that's extremely difficult to do. So if I could ask you for one final take-home message for our listeners today, what would that be?
Part of rehabilitation in complex holistic rehabilitation in elderly people is optimizing their mental health, physical health, reducing polypharmacy. And polypharmacy has been a topic of debates, and that there are medications that we know are safe to continue in elderly with frailty, and some medications are less so. I would like to highlight that at the moment we don't have good evidence that some medications, particular medications, have to be stopped. For example, there have been a lot of research on stopping statins, which is interesting, because we prescribe statin hoping for longer term benefits, and people with frailty may not have very long life expectancy. But at the moment, we don't have enough evidence to say that it's helpful to stop them.
Dr. Shantzila, thank you so much for joining me in this discussion today. This is such an important and growing population, and it's clear that there is so much that we still don't know about how to optimize care for these complex patients. But I definitely look forward to seeing the evidence of successful rehabilitation programs emerging in the future.
This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals for their ongoing medical education and entertainment. It should not replace the professional advice of a doctor or pharmacist, and may not be used as a basis for diagnosis or any change to the prescribed treatment of disease. The views expressed by our moderators and guests are their opinions and do not represent the position of any third parties. The information given in the podcast is subject to change as the scientific field and clinical advances progress.